Thursday, September 5th, 2024 session of the Portland City Council. Please call the roll.
Gonzalez.
Here.
Maps.
Here.
Rubio.
Here.
Ryan. Wheeler.
Here. We'll hear from legal counsel on the rules of order and quorum. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor. Welcome to the Portland City Council. To testify before council in person or virtually, you must sign up in advance on the council agenda at www.portland.gov/council/agenda. Information on engaging with council can be found on the council clerk's webpage. Individuals may testify for 3 minutes unless the presiding officer states otherwise. Your microphone will be muted when your time is over. The presiding officer preserves order. Disruptive conduct, such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If you cause a disruption, a warning will be given. Further disruption will result in an ejection from the meeting. Anyone who fails to leave once ejected is subject to arrest for trespass. Additionally, council may take a short recess and reconvene virtually. Your testimony should address the matter being considered. When testifying, state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. If you are a lobbyist, identify the organization you represent. Virtual testifiers should unmute themselves when the council calls your name. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we jump in, I've had a number of reporters ask me about the U.S. Bank situation. I know there's some reporters hanging out, hoping to hear commentary from me after council. I don't want them to have to sit through this entire session just to get a 30-second soundbite for me. So I'll take a liberty here and start with it. First of all, let me just state the obvious. It's disappointing that U.S. Bank will be vacating their current location in Big Pink. Nobody likes to see that. I want to be very clear with the public that we have been working through issues with both the U.S. Bank, which is the tenant, as well as Unico, which is the property owner, through our Portland Solutions program. I've had members of my own staff personally working with them to address their needs. We have done many things in response to their suggestions, bollards, physical improvements, public safety improvements, livability improvements, and the like. Nonetheless, they have still made this decision, and I'm sorry to see them go. That said, I also want people to have confidence in the future of this city. And the facts are that the trends are moving in the direction that we want them to move. Crime is down significantly across the entire city, but particularly in the central city. We have a large number of new openings. In fact, new business openings are up substantially year over year, including Soho House, Hoka, the Ritz-Carlton, and of course, the new Daimler facility in our city, just to name a small handful of the new business openings. And last but not least, foot traffic is up significantly in the central city. So there are positive signs. I understand that when we lose a business, that's big news, and it should be, and it's disappointing, and it tells us that we can always do better. But I also don't want to lose sight of what is less covered, less visible, which is that the decisions that this council has made, the investments we've made around public safety to reduce homelessness, to improve livability, to work with our business community on economic recovery, the trends show that we are moving in the right direction. Going forward, I think it would be naive to assume that we will not have other business closures. But I also want us to keep an eye on the big picture, to keep moving the ball forward, and to keep speaking with a voice of optimism about the future of this city. I've only got a matter of a few short months left here. I'm going to continue to be a cheerleader for the city of Portland. I'm going to continue to point out data and information that may be unwelcome. Again, any business closure or any business moving out of the central city is a disappointment, and we should treat it as such. But I also am just asking us as a community to not lose sight of the good things that are also happening in our community. And that's the end of my statement, since I made one. If anybody else wants to say anything, that's fine. You don't have to. Very good. To our first item today, and it's our only item, 777. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance.
authorize grant agreements for a total allocation not to exceed $91,916,334 from the Portland Clean Energy Community Benefits Fund.
This afternoon, we're going to hear about the Portland Clean Energy Fund Community Responsive Grants Ordinance. And I'm going to just quickly hand this over to Commissioner Rubio for her remarks, since I already took up most of the space. Commissioner Rubio.
Thank you, Mayor. Today's an important moment for the PSEF program as we learn more about the third round of community responsive grants. PSEF, which got its start from the community, passed with overwhelming support. It's the first environmental initiative led by communities of color in Oregon and the first program of its kind in the United States. This fund is designed to reduce and remove the systemic barriers that have accompanied our dependence on fossil fuels while centering frontline and BIPOC communities as decision makers. Community responsive grants are grounded in the intent of our voters who passed this program. These grants allow for meaningful investments in programs and projects that will directly improve climate resilience for our most underserved communities. The response from our community for this round of grants far exceeded our expectations. Hundreds of impactful proposals were submitted, resulting in an increase of PSEF funds allocated to these grants before us today. With each RFP of community responsive grants, staff has managed to improve and evolve the program, including putting in place a comprehensive system to vet and monitor every grant that goes out. With a nod to accountability and transparency, the new public PSEF program dashboard has launched, a public portal to track the progress and impacts of PSEF funding. Thank you, Sam, the PSEF team, and the countless review panel members for all your hard work that you've been putting into bringing this forward. I'm excited to hear more about this round of grants and the unprecedented investment in these organizations.
Thank you, Commissioner. Donny Olivera for the record, Deputy City Administrator for Community Economic Development. As Commissioner Rubio outlined, this is an important proposal before you today that captures the third round of community responsive grants, but the first really of the climate investment plan. This council for the last couple of years has really shaped the future of the fund through the climate investment plan and also the investments in the climate projects for the city bureaus. But the grant program is really the heart of the Portland Clean Energy Community Benefits Fund. With significant input and partnership across our community partners, PSEF staff have improved the process for the community responsive grant program from application to project completion. PSEF is committed to accountability both in internal processes but also with our grantees. And as this process moves forward, we are committed to ensuring that every dollar allocated through PSEF is spent responsibly and delivers real, measurable outcomes for our communities. This means we are continuously strengthening our oversight mechanisms to track the progress and performance of projects that receive funding. Transparency is at the heart of PSEF's governance model. Staff provide regular updates to our community partners and this council so we can detail successes and challenges and how we address those challenges. Grantees have clear, measurable targets and reporting requirements so that everyone can see exactly how the funds are being used. But most importantly, these are investments that are making real impact for the city and our communities. And with that, I'll invite up Sam Barroso, PSEF Program Manager, and Eric Engstrom, Director of Bureau of Planning and Sustainability.
Thank you, Donnie. For the record, this is Eric Engstrom, Director at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And while Sam is loading the PowerPoint,
I share my screen.
I'll just start by saying that our presentation today will start with a reminder of how this fits into the climate investment plan. Second, we'll go over the recommended portfolio for this, the third community responsive grants RFP. We'll review our accountability mechanisms, and we'll show a short video highlighting some PSEF beneficiaries. And you can move to the second slide, Sam. That's just what I went over. And next slide, please. A few key takeaways I want to stress before I turn it over to Sam to describe the recommendations. As Donnie mentioned, this is our first round of community grants following the CIP adoption. With the CIP now guiding our work, continued recurring rounds of community grant opportunities fit into that context of there being several PSEF programs running in tandem and supporting each other. The estimated emission reductions within this particular package is roughly 85,000 metric tons. But as you know, the grants are also intended to foster community and economic development outcomes. So that's not our only measure. Finally, in response to the higher than expected volume of quality applications we received in this solicitation, we're recommending a slightly higher total dollar amount for this award cycle, acknowledging the gap year that we had while we prepared the CIP. And we also asked many of our applicants where feasible to scale back projects in order to fund a wider diversity of projects and organizations. With that, I will turn it over to Sam Barrasso, PSEF's program manager.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners. It's good to be here before you all. I'm going to quickly provide some context and situate the community responsive grants within the climate investment plan. And then we're going to dive into the grant review process, the awards themselves and the package, as well as what do we do after we award the grants? And then what are some lines of sight for members of the public to track our progress as we move forward? But first, as DCA Oliveira mentioned, our community responsive grants are core to our origin story. And yet when we developed the climate investment plan, which you all are all too familiar, it helped us ensure how we strategize, how it fits within the broader climate action goals of the city. So how do our strategic programs, which you all have heard plenty of, about, fit within addressing our climate action goals as a city? And then how do our community responsive grants fit within that? And so the community responsive grants are, again, the core of our origin story. And these are projects and programs that are both designed and implemented by community-based nonprofit organizations. Now, within the climate investment plan, you've heard a good bit about our strategic programs. We are going to continue coming before you all as we roll out our subsequent programs. But you've heard about our climate-friendly schools program. You've heard about our clean energy and single-family homes, our e-bikes program, as well as our capacity building program. And now we're talking here that that red slice there to the right side of the diagram are community responsive grants. All right. So before I jump into our specific grant review process, I want to acknowledge, I know that this body just yesterday adopted the citywide grant administration policy. And so I want to start by sharing that in each and every step of our review process, we go above and beyond our grant the adopted grant administration policy. So diving in, we started our process before we jumped in our grant review with about a 75-day open solicitation period beginning in late November of 2023 and ending in early mid-February of 2024. Through that process, we received about 230 total applications requesting about $309 million in funding. As we brought those applications in, the first steps we moved through our eligibility screening. This is making sure that the grants themselves met the minimum basic criteria that we have for the program, that applications fall within the city of Portland, that they're addressing PSEF relevant funding areas, that they're coming from nonprofit organizations, et cetera. And then we enter technical review. Now, this is where we work to ensure and review our projects to make sure they're technically feasible. What does this mean? It means that the project can be permitted as designed. It means that the project costs are appropriate, that implementation timelines are appropriate for the given measure. And then we move the projects into a vetting process, those that pass those steps, and we review the organization's financials. So that may be their most recent 3 years of audited financials or maybe any other financials that they have. And then we do reference checks to ensure that the organizations have the experience in implementing projects of similar scope and size. And so through that process, we went from about 230 applications to about 209 applications that were subsequently forwarded to our scoring panels. We had about 20 scoring panels that were organized based on subject matter. So we had a clean energy, specifically energy efficiency, a renewable energy scoring panel, workforce development scoring panel, green infrastructure panel, regenerative agriculture, and so forth. In each scoring panel, we have three members that all have subject matter expertise within that funding area. And we had a total of about 25 scoring panel members go through this process with us. And I thank them for the countless hours they participated in that. So that included 14 external reviewers where we tapped additional city partners, whether it was colleagues at the Bureau of Transportation, at our urban forestry team and elsewhere, as well as 11 PSEF staff members participating in that scoring. And then the scoring panel members ultimately scored on a 100-point scale all the projects. And we then fundamentally took them all together. We ranked them within their relevant funding areas and worked to develop the portfolio before you all. And as Director Engstrom mentioned, as part of that, in recognition that we did see a substantially greater volume of demand, we did assemble a portfolio that was larger than we originally planned, but we also downscoped about a third of the proposals in order to accommodate this package here and be able to accommodate, you know, the many strong proposals we did see come before us. One of the final review steps that we took within the final portfolio is making sure that any organization, now we have a substantial, I would say, amount of experience. We have a number of organizations that we've currently or recently granted to. So we did screen any organization that had existing funding with us and made sure that any organization with substantial unspent fund resources were ultimately not considered for the recommended portfolio. And so that brings us to the 71 applications that are before you all today. All right, next slide. Okay, so that 71 applications or proposals represents about 65 implementation grants, 6 planning grants. So this is a smaller number of planning grants and something we're gonna be revisiting as we move forward. But we did have a sufficient number of implementation grants. The total portfolio is about 92 million. That does reflect a contingency allocation of about 6% across the portfolio. And as Director Engstrom mentioned, 85,000 lifetime metric tons of CO2 emissions reductions. Now, as you'd expect, our largest funding area is our clean energy funding area, where we are allocating to 21 projects, about $50.2 million. And those are our larger projects, which is, as you'd expect, those are our buildings focused projects where we're doing major renovations and getting into buildings and doing retrofits. That's about the average size of those grants are $2.4 million. Next is our transportation decarbonization funding area, our newest funding area. Average size there is about $880,000, but the total allocation is $12.3 million. We have a substantial amount of fleet electrification, but also active transportation programming and other cycling focused activities in there. And then we've got our regenerative agriculture, green infrastructure funding area. Average size is about $680,000. And last but not least, our workforce development funding area, which average size is $970,000. We got another funding area, which is our other catch-all, and that's largely focused on materials reuse projects, as well as behavior change campaigns. Now, as we step back and we look at the distribution of projects, as you'd expect, many of our projects are certainly citywide. But then there are many projects that are also focused on distinct geographic areas because we're focused on a given building or whatnot. And here, what I want to acknowledge is that we do see a pattern of greater awards in Northeast Portland, and it's something that we will be doing our homework on to understand why and pivot accordingly. And it's something we expect to incorporate changes in our next RFP, our RFP4, to better balance that distribution of funding. I expect these sorts of changes would be significant, and we will be releasing these as part of our public comment process later this fall in gearing up for our next request for proposals. So pivoting to now that we've got the awards before you all, and if these awards and get accepted, what do we do as we move forward, and how do we manage the grants to ensure accountability, measurement, you know, accountability, transparency, and ensure the public gets to understand what we are doing with these resources? So first is our transparency, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but we want to ensure that folks have visibility into the investments and the outcomes of the program. We also want to talk about our measurement. What are our key metrics? And I'll share with you all in a little bit our dashboard, which is our first beta version, and how it captures the progress we're making in our investments across our funding areas. We'll talk about our reporting. What do we do on an individual grantee basis to ensure that folks are accountable to the outcomes they've committed to and are spending the resources on what we've awarded them to spend their resources on? And last but not least, our evaluation broadly to ensure how are we measuring as a whole, how we're doing as we track towards the overall program goals, and what do we need to do to improve those. So first, I will start with, this is the first round of our grants that are launched and going to be administered in the city's web grants application grants management portal. As you know, this is the goal of the citywide grants administration policy for all the grants to be managed within this. And we're excited that this will be our first round that will be the applications were both taken in via web grants and will be fully managed via web grants, and will ultimately give both the city and our city partners really line of sight into all the grants that we were able to do. And so this was an important feat, and I just want to give a lot of kudos to our staff, our business systems analyst, Trace Sorkukena, and others who helped develop and build out the web grants platform for us. But importantly, what do we do as we once we've awarded these grants? We do a lot of quarterly reporting. So our disbursement of advances as well as reimbursements are on a quarterly basis. All grants are required to complete quarterly project reporting and submit payment documentation and backing all the backing documents. That payment documentation for all the expenses are reviewed by multiple staff, including our finance staff and our project managers. Within that quarterly reporting, we do require reporting for all the milestones as well as extensive data collection that is relevant to each funding area. And then importantly, we capture our workforce and contractor utilization. You know, there's a lot about the benefits these projects have, but it's equally who are getting to benefit from these jobs, whether we're talking about the private sector contractors or our workforce. And so that is all part of it. And I will just acknowledge our reporting is robust. And it is there to ensure that we get appropriate information to make sure we're meeting all of PSEP's objectives. And at times that does create friction because that is an important part before we disperse our funds. And then across our different funding areas, we have a variety of verification and quality assurance. And so we have a range of third-party contracted entities that go forth and follow up on our projects. So when we do a retrofit of a building, a home, or plant a tree, we have third-party contractors that go out to ensure that we've done it appropriately, done it to appropriate standards so that there's durability to ensure we meet our emissions reductions goals, as well as provide a third-party set of eyes to make sure that we're not creating any harms. And that leads us to the dashboard. This is our first beta dashboard that has been developed in Power BI. A big kudos to Vanya Fong on our team and Elizabeth Stover that's worked on this to make sure that we're able to take all of the numerous outcomes of our program and capture them, whether it's our climate benefits, our workforce development outcomes, our contractor and workforce diversity outcomes, or our community engagement. And so that is captured here. This does lag about a quarter behind our quarterly reporting inputs, but this is now publicly accessible. And I know your chiefs of staff have access to the PowerPoint with the dashboard, and we encourage folks, once they've had a chance to take it a run through it, to check in with us if they've got questions. But we're excited about this, and we know that this is our first iteration, and we expect to be iterating and updating this in the years to come. But consider this our beta version as we figure out how to get all our data appropriately in here. And with that, I'm getting to wrapping up my points here, and I'll just turn it over to a video of one of our one of our grantees and their project beneficiaries, and a big kudos to Community Energy Project, which has received grants from us both in this round and prior rounds. So I'm going to turn it over to this, see if it comes through.
My name is Cayetano Rodriguez. I'm original from Mexico, and I've owned this place for about 10 years now. I have a really old furnace, so now it broke. I heard about this program through one of my neighbors. It was easy to work with them, you know, and so now things are getting done. The CEP right now, it's upgrading my water heater, which is more sustainable, and then my AC unit and the furnace as well. It's quicker than I expected, good response. So I'll definitely recommend it, CEP.
I'm Nancy Richardson, and this is my husband, Glenn, and we've owned this home since the fall of 1999. Before the energy project came along, our house was not insulated, and we had really inefficient wall heaters. Our electricity bill was huge. We were cold in the winter on really hot days. We were just kind of barely making it. it's difficult when the weather's extreme, either in the summer or the winter. The Community Energy Project folks were so professional and so helpful and non-judgmental. We understood to us there probably wouldn't be any out-of-pocket costs. The value of what the work appliances and equipment and things that were being installed were thousands and thousands of dollars. We're saving over $1,000 a year.
Hola, mi nombre es Gabriel Andalón. Con el frío se ponía la casa muy fría de a tiro y echamos doble cobija porque sí se ponía muy fría la casa. Pues he notado muchos cambios porque le pusieron la insulación por dentro, pusieron los gires y el calentón, mucha diferencia. Ha estado muy bien porque vivimos más seguros, más satisfechos con los cambios que hicieron. Bien amables todos, vinieron a hacer su trabajo que tienen que hacer. En que sí nos ha ayudado mucho en los pagos de la luz, ha bajado mucho. Y en mi vida, pues, me dio mucho gusto que los pusieran, porque sí los ocupábamos pues, al 100%.
My name is Bernice Lopez Dorsey, and I am the co-founder owner of Home Energy Life Performance Group. Our mission is to create a better world, one green home at a time. There is a lot of homes in the Portland metro area that has asbestos and radon, and so there is those health issues as well. In our priority population, the biggest ones are the ones that cost the most, which is heating and cooling and roofing. Community Energy Project has been really a great supporter of Help Group. They're fantastic to work with. They know our community, they know their needs. They're very experienced in trying to bridge different fundings. They have the resources. So it's been a fantastic experience. One thing that you see in the Portland metro area is like we're all colleagues. We don't feel like we're really competing against each other, that there is a lot of community. That's part of why it keeps me going.
This was one of the best things that's ever happened to our house and to us. And I would say these people are honest and professional. They know what they're doing. Just 100% confidence in the project.
I want to just thank Community Energy Project because they've been great partners through all of this for allowing us to present that video of beneficiaries. We don't oftentimes get to do that. So with that, I will turn it over back to this council for questions and discussion.
Good colleagues. Participant screen.
Mr. Mayor, I'll have some questions, but I think there might be public testimony on this.
Yeah, I can't see my screen anymore. Do we have public testimony?
We do. We have 7 people signed up.
All right.
Our first testifier is Darlene Sherman. Darlene is online.
Hi, Darlene. Welcome.
I was trying to get it's fixed now. Okay. This was operator error.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yep, loud and clear. Welcome.
Okay. Well, maybe you can even see me.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Darlene Sherman, I'm a volunteer with the 350 PDX climate policy team. And I'm very pleased to support these projects. I've seen what has happened over time, and now that we're seeing projects that are part of the Climate Action Plan. And because organizations have had the work before in terms of capacity building, I believe that the projects that are being proposed today are ones that are having, will have a big impact in reducing greenhouse gases and in supporting our vulnerable populations in Portland. So I'm really pleased with the projects that have been put forward in this. Some of the projects, we're seeing more now transportation decarbonization projects, which I think are really important given the high percentage of greenhouse gases, maybe 41% in the county from that. And I'd like to highlight one of the projects that are included, which is Central City Concern, which has for clients and housing for many of our low-income and vulnerable populations as a decarbonization pilot project for their fleet that they use for servicing their clients. I was very pleased to see that. I also like the Resiliency Hub, one that was highlighted is at a Missionary Baptist Church. And I think that in our low-income neighborhoods, it's hard to have public buildings that can serve as resiliency hubs, but churches and schools are really embedded in the communities. And so I think that's a really good direction to go. For energy efficiency projects, very pleased to see the projects for the Habitat for Humanity in two different communities that will provide really high level of energy efficiency in 72 homes serving 72 low-income families. And in general, their population is 82% of BIPOC community. So it's really addressing the PSIF populations. And other projects that will be for homeowners and addressing heat pumps in the neighborhood. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we have Yasher Vasef.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is Yashar Vasef. I use he, him pronouns. I serve as the executive director of Friends of Trees. I'm honored to speak in support of the Portland Clean Energy Fund's latest slate of community grants, a program that I believe is transformational for our city. These grants are helping grassroots organizations like Friends of Trees address climate challenges in a way that directly benefits all communities. Friends of Trees is honored to be awarded two grants from PSEF, which will help us better care for the trees we plant and deepen our community impact. Our organization has long recognized the growing need for increased tree establishment care, particularly in the face of our changing climate. It's no secret that young trees are more vulnerable now than ever before, and without proper care and community mobilization, many won't survive our increasingly hot and dry summers, exemplified by today's extreme heat. One of our award grants is focused on tree care in North, Southeast, and East Portland. With this support, we will provide 2 years of mulching and 3 years of watering for up to 450 young trees. In addition, we will be conducting structural pruning for up to 1,400 trees to help them grow strong, healthy, and to better shield them from damage during ice storms. This is essential work. Trees are a critical part of our urban infrastructure, providing shade, reducing heat, and improving air quality, but without proper care, they cannot provide these benefits. But tree care isn't just about the trees themselves either. This grant will allow us to engage over 110 BIPOC youth through our ecosystem of community partnerships, offering meaningful educational opportunities. We're also excited to tap our Adult Urban Forestry Workforce Development Program, which will provide internships that offer real-world experience in tree care and career pathways in urban forestry. This tree care programming will also reduce instances of residents improperly pruning trees and foregoing critical maintenance. In all, we anticipate over 1,000 community members receiving education on tree care through this opportunity. After 35 years of deep engagement with Portland's communities, we've learned that many within low-income and BIPOC populations are hesitant to accept trees for their homes and neighborhoods. This is often due to the real and perceived costs of long-term tree care. PSEF funding allows us to reduce these barriers and enable us to show up for communities in ways that make tree planting and maintenance more accessible, particularly for those who historically have been underserved by urban greening programs. Our second awarded grant focuses on a different aspect of our work, that is ensuring that Friends of Trees can show up with integrity when it comes to our environmental impact. PSEF has generally supported the purchase of 2 electric trucks for our organizations. These trucks will be used for tree watering, transporting staff, volunteers, and interns, and for moving trees and materials to and from community tree planting events. The timing couldn't be better. Our trucks are very old. I imagine that many other organizations with grants today have equally compelling stories, and I encourage you to approve today's slate.
Thank you.
Courtney Hamilton.
Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Hello.
Okay. I am Courtney Hamilton. I am the Workforce Development Coordinator with Oregon Tradeswomen. And thank you for having us here today. Since our beginning in 1989, our mission has been to transform women's lives by building community and economic independence through empowerment, training, career education, advocacy, and leadership development in skilled trades. We have always been rooted in community and tradeswomen, workers, labor, and other community-based organizations. And our pre-apprenticeship program has become a national model for supporting women and gender minorities into pre-apprenticeship and journey careers. The majority of our graduates from our pre-apprenticeship program, almost 2,000 to date, go into the registered apprenticeship programs. Many have risen to leadership positions in their unions, apprenticeship programs, or in the construction companies that they work for. We have been breaking barriers for more than 25 years. With the support of the PCEF fund, we will be able to continue breaking these barriers now and into the future. Oregon tradeswomen's work in the community is the reason why Oregon has more than twice the number of female apprentices in this high wage construction field. 8.8% of that, 8.8%, and the national average is around 3.9%. With the PCEF support, Oregon tradeswomen will plan to expand our pre-apprenticeship program and have focus on recruiting, training, and career assistance for Black women and other BIPOC women, including transgender and non-binary people, so that as they enter this registered apprenticeship in the high wage, making high wages in high-skilled construction trades. The need for economic recovery post-COVID, equity and justice, and climate solutions continues to grow. The green economy is leading in the new opportunities and creating pathways to success. As a whole, women are, and especially women of color, have been overlooked in these occupations, and we are looking to change that. This has meant that we have not had the opportunity to be included in highly skilled careers in construction, utility systems, et cetera. And we're hoping to use this grant and that funding to change that. The benefit of this, the majority of our students will be BIPOC women, but there will be a focus on Black women as we do our outreach and funding to really target those areas. Over three years of our project, about 300 women, including transgender, non-binary, and other gender minorities, will enter pre-apprenticeship program trainings, and at least 80% will complete them. And of that 80%, 80% will become employed in the skilled trades. The industry will also benefit from the addition to the diverse workforce into the construction and clean energy and climate change industry. And the community will benefit, by not only having more clean energy workers available, but the income that we will put back into the community and hopefully help change some generational poverty and address those areas of concern.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You had 1 second to spare.
I did beg my thought.
Margaret Salazar.
Hi, Margaret. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, my name is Margaret Salazar, and I'm CEO of Reach Community Development. For more than 40 years, Reach has provided safe and stable affordable housing across the Portland metro region, serving as a lifeline for community members that have experienced systemic inequities that have blocked their access to housing. We also have leadership throughout our history around green and energy efficiency solutions to make sure that we are good stewards of the built environment by creating energy efficiency solutions for our properties. We are thrilled to be here with you today to talk about the PSEF investment that will create critical improvements in 3 properties in Northeast Portland. This grant will help us make key energy efficiency improvements in 3 properties: Albina Corner, Allen Fremont Plaza, and Walnut Park. These buildings were all constructed before the year 2000 and are facing obsolescence. They're home to 155 low-income residents who have limited housing opportunities. And we're excited about the PSEF investment because we believe it will make an impact in three key areas. First is reducing energy costs. We believe that the impact of the PSEF grant and the repairs that we will be able to make at the properties will result in an estimated 45% reduction in energy consumption at these properties. To put that in perspective, the average REACH household annual income is approximately $19,000 a year. And these energy cost reductions will be significant, saving the average household approximately $400 a year in energy costs. That's real money in the pockets of low-income households that they can use for necessities such as groceries, childcare, and healthcare. The second major impact beyond energy costs is improved habitability and living conditions. We know that our properties are obsolete and they need some upgrades to bring them into today's world, especially on days like today where we're experiencing severe heat events. We have challenges where residents are facing habitability and air quality issues. And these investments from PSEF will allow us to make critical improvements that will have a direct impact on indoor air quality and habitability and the health and safety of our residents. And then the final impact of these funds is really about the long view. We will be able to make critical improvements in properties to bring them up to date to today's realities that will allow us to be good stewards for tomorrow of these affordable housing resources that we know are so critical in our community. We look forward to partnering with you to implement this grant, and we thank you for your leadership in this program and on Portland's ambitious climate goals. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jim Plantico.
Hi, Jim.
My name is Jim Plantico with Community Energy Project. Just want to talk about our work that we've done with PSEF2 and sort of the impact PSEF2 has had on the communities that we serve. Our PSEF2 grant was to retrofit 250 homes, single family homes, over the next 5 years. And we have currently at 100 houses that we've bid out or at work completed. This work has impact. It has lowered our clients' energy bills and lowered their energy bill burden. On average, 40% energy reduction in the homes that we are serving. And as that video attested, $1,000 on average per year in energy savings. In addition to that, we are providing electrification and cooling in homes. So people are able to live in their houses more comfortably. Many of our clients don't even have heat when we get into their houses. Living without heat for over 8 years, using blankets or space heaters to heat their house. And so we are transforming our clients' lives. In addition to that, there is impact in labor. We have generated so far over 10,000 hours of boots on the ground labor that is primarily minority workers that are doing this type of work, and we're generating jobs that will, you know, dollars that will ripple out amongst that community. This is just one organization. And so with PSEF3, we're able to expand that and serve additional clients in the market and enable us to work with other community-based organizations and other contractors to deliver this and continue to grow. Thank you.
Thank you.
David Heslam.
Hi, David. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in favor of this slate of proposals. My name is David Heslam. I'm the executive director of Earth Advantage. We're a nonprofit based right here in downtown Portland. We've been here, moved in from the burbs in 2010, and we're not planning on going anywhere out of downtown Portland. Thank you very much. So our mission is to advance an informed and humane housing market. And we do that by acknowledging that, you know, the housing that we have has impacts on the climate, GHGs for the most part, right? We also do it by thinking that, hey, the climate is already having impacts on people's housing. And for us, that really came home, and we decided that we really needed to make sure that we were focused on equitable housing solutions and not just working with developers, even though we've supported groups like REACH in the past with third-party certification. And that's why you probably know us as the manager of the Cooling Portland program. And also we do quality assurance for the PSEF residential projects, because we really feel like we can't afford to leave any household behind when it comes to dealing with the problems of climate change. But here today, I want to tell you about the proposals that we put in. They're for workforce development, because even though we work all across the country on these other issues, we were chartered as an educational nonprofit here in Oregon to educate the building industry. And for many years, we did that for builders and architects and realtors and appraisers and lenders. But now we've been for years supporting folks like Oregon tradeswomen who have pre-apprenticeship programs. And what you heard was, hey, the good jobs are ones that are union jobs. They pay great wages, they have great benefits. But some of the folks that go through those programs also want to work in the residential space, which is traditionally not union jobs. And we have a project called the HERO Academy, Home Energy Retrofit Occupations Academy. We wanted to make this happen for a long time, because working with those folks with the pre-apprenticeship programs, we were able to see it's hard to get the folks that are interested in the residential jobs connected with the small employers that want to hire them. I know I started as a laborer in this industry 30 years ago, schlepping plywood and 2x4s around job sites. Before I got promoted to this job, it happened just like that. But in this case, we're going to help folks. We're providing subsidies to the employers. We're providing training to the employers, training to the individuals. And this HERO Academy, working with many, many partners in the community, is going to help make that linkage so that it's easier for those folks to make that jump. Because I'll say, it felt hard at the time for me to make that jump, having never worked in the construction industry, to get into it and get those jobs and move up. But, you know, I was an athletic, relatively outgoing white guy, and that's who all my bosses were. And so this is really important, and I really encourage you to pass all this slate, because we need this in order to make the jobs happen for the people that want them. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate you being here.
Babs Finelli. Babs is online.
Welcome.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
Yep. And we see you.
Thank you. So I am Babs Finelli, 76-year-old lifelong Portland resident. And as I've said before, I love my city of roses. So my testimony won't be very long, because what I can say now, going last, is I second, third, and say amen to all those who have gone before me. I am just overwhelmed with pride as I listen to the folks before me describe all these amazing projects that are happening right here, right now. And Mayor Wheeler, commissioners, thank you for having supported the strategic proposals that PSEF has put before you within the last few months. So 110% supporting what's before you today. Okay, so in conclusion, I will hark back to Governor Tom McCall. Many of you know, even though you might not have been an adult at the time, he served from the late 60s to the mid 70s. And our Governor Tom McCall was an environmental champion before that phrase was even coined. And in the years after he left office in 1974, he continued to fight for the environment. He loved Oregon and was 120% committed to preserving all of our wonderful natural resources. So, in conclusion, I will say that I know that if Tom McCall were alive today, he would be here imploring you to support PSEF's strategic proposal that's in front of you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That concludes testimony.
All right. Very good. Colleagues, questions, Commissioner Mapps?
Just a couple of quick questions for staff. First, let me start out by Really offering my congratulations and appreciation to Sam, Donnie, and Commissioner Rubio for stewarding this program over the last several years. I am generally really encouraged to see how PSEP has evolved during my time on council. I have maybe two broad questions and some feedback. I'll also say, most of the grants that are being proposed look worthy. I am glad to support them and expect to when this comes back to council. I have some broader questions, though, about how PSEP intersects with our larger climate goals. So in terms of my first question, and it's not really a question, it's some feedback. Really glad to see the PSEP dashboard come online. I think that's very helpful, especially for current and future lawmakers or policymakers, but also provide a little bit of feedback and things I hope to see from the dashboard moving forward. In the climate space, I largely think of our investments as falling into two buckets. One, trying to reduce the amount of carbon that we release into the air, and the other being really focused on resiliency. I see a great tab, which gives us some leverage over how much carbon we put out in the air. That's very helpful. But we don't really have a tab that helps us think about climate resiliency. And frankly, I think that's a space that we broadly need to think about more deeply in this space. You know, frankly, when I take a look at these specific grants, it seems like a lot of them are really focused in on the resiliency side as opposed to trying to get the carbon out. And that can be fine, but I do hope that we can get a little bit more precise in terms of what our specific goals are in the resiliency space and how we're doing in terms of moving towards those goals. So that's feedback number one. And the question that I'd like to ask is, you know, this is a major investment. Let's focus in on the carbon piece. You know, it's our goal to cut the amount of carbon in the air in half compared to what it was in 1990. These are major investments. Donnie, Sam, or someone else, can you tell us how the $90 million that we're spending today, how close does that get us towards achieving that goal?
This is a wonderful question, Commissioner Mapson. It's you know, as we think about the broader pie, and I'm going to look to Director DCA Oliveira in case he wants to chime in first before I go in. Okay, you know. I think we can help contextualize it. I think the hard challenge is that the scale of investment need to get to even our 2030 goals, which you spoke to there, and then subsequently our net zero 2050 goals, does and is going to be well beyond what PSEP is going to be able to contribute. What we can take an attempt to do is to start parsing out a little bit more closely and work with our climate staff within the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to tease out the broader subsectors, because you know, when we've come before you all in the past, we've spoken to, when we think about the relevant PSEP funding areas, the things that we generally do in terms of efficiency upgrades in buildings, renewable energy upgrades, you know, EV charging stations and so forth, the broader need is about $50 billion going through our 2050. And PSEP will always still, even at the substantial scale of $200 million and so a year, will still be a small part of that. It'll be a small sliver. So we can help try to contextualize that more as part of our subsequent visits to you all. But in a diagram, it'll always look very small just because that need is still pretty large. And it is going to take partners at our utilities. It will take other policy actions that I know our city and our bureaus are working on. And it'll take several other levers beyond just these investments to drive at that.
Thank you. And that's my kind of read of the numbers too. I see Donnie, let me say something and then I'll let you jump in. If I understand where we're at in terms of our carbon goals, you know, we're trying to remove another 2.5 million metric tons of carbon from the air in the next 6 years.
And I think the 85,000 metric tons that we are going to get out of the air with the $91 million we're spending here gets us to about takes care of about 3.5% of that. That makes me awfully concerned. You know, this is one of our major investments in the climate space, and it gets us, you know, about 3% of where we hope to go in the next 6 years, or not even, yeah, 6 years or so. For people who are currently sitting on council and for people who are likely to sit on council in the future, can you help us think about this space and that kind of paradox? It seems like we have a scale problem. Either we have a scale problem, or we need to become more efficient in how we, about the return on investment for every dollar we spend and how much carbon we get out of the air.
Great question, Commissioner. Donnie Oliveira for the record. So a couple of thoughts. First, I just want to reiterate something that's been said a couple of times. The Portland Clean Energy Fund was never designed to meet all the city's climate goals, right? It was originally intended to provide an avenue for resources to get into our communities for resiliency and to spur, you know, frankly, innovation as well. When we talk about the major reduction goals that we have as a city, but frankly, as a state and globally, we're talking about systemic shifts that are necessary that funds like PSEF, even if they existed across the country, are not going to totally shift. We need absolute, you know, decarbonization of our fuels, our grids, and those are systemic issues. So when we talk about what are the levers that this council and future councils can pull to make those changes, it's working with our partners at the state, working with federal agencies to really shift how we're fueling our homes and our vehicles. That's gonna be the big change. What PSEF can do is it can augment that with accelerated investments in our homes and our buildings, providing workforce dollars for a future, you know, green tech, green economy. Those are real investments. I don't wanna minimize them. But the big maneuvers that we're looking at, both in our city, but frankly at the state, are just going to require, you know, multi-jurisdictional and multi-governmental investments that are much bigger than PSEF's going to cover. Second point, though, if I don't mind add, because you're absolutely right, part of the reason why the dashboard's so important and the accountability components is, yes, we want to be efficient with how we're investing our dollars. And as we learn more, we'll put the dollars that are working best, you know, we'll put more dollars back to work in that way.
Thank you very much. A lot of that makes sense to me, and I will share with my colleagues on council and for everyone watching at home. One of the things I'm thinking about awfully hard at the moment, and I think everyone in the city should be thinking about, is how we meet our climate goals. We have a very specific goal for 6 years out. And frankly, I'm concerned about our ability to achieve that. We have a lot of work, you know, we're making a big investment here and all of that looks really good. But if we're gonna take our climate, especially our carbon reduction goals seriously, some more work needs to be done. And by more work, we have about 97% of the work that still is on the table. But I appreciate the dialogue, and Mr. Mayor, I'll hand the mic back to you.
Very good. Further questions, colleagues? All right. Commissioner Rubio, do you have a question? Good. Thank you. Great presentation. We appreciate everybody testified. There's nothing to vote on today. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading, and we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.